Blog Talk Radio.
Guys, this is Those Guys, or currently That Guy, hosted by Matt Marrero, who is going to be playing you themes from the WWE wrestlers who won at WrestleMania 30. We're going to be doing this for about the next 40 or so minutes, and then my usual co-host, Satish Ram, will come on, and he will be discussing WrestleMania 30 with me. So to start this off, the pre-show of the night, the Usos theme, and here we go.
I'm on top, saving my peak, and everything they said was out of my reach. So close, man, hit it off for the home fan. Time on, yeah, we ain't just a dumb man. Saving my peak, and everything they said was out of my reach. So close, man, hit it off for the home fan. Time on, yeah, we ain't just a dumb man.
Had the weight of the world on my shoulders. Felt like a lion in a room full of vultures. Try to slow me up, but the bro got focused. Gave me no shine, but the world still noticed. Now I'm about to own this, ripping my culture. Rocking my ear, lava lava like a soldier. Samoa flag hanging off of my wrist. Don't step Steve Nash, could've give the assist. If you act wrong, have your eye in, singing you a sad song. Dead man walking, go put a body bag on. I just rock the gear that they never put a tag on. Hanging with the girls you can never get a hand on.
Saving my peak, and everything they said was out of my reach. So close, man, hit it off for the home fan. Time all year, we ain't get the phone, man. Saving my peak.
I'll be puffing out my chest. I'm around a hot chick, screaming Hummel to the guests. Toasting to the good life, I remember way back. Seeing Trump, wishing I could recreate that. Now we eating meals off $1,000 placemats. Five-star restaurants you couldn't even wait at. Others make cash, we make history. Who's so synonymous with victory?
I'm on top, saving my peak. And everything they said was out of my reach. So close, man, hit it off for the home fan. Time all year, we ain't seen the toast. Saving my top, and everything they said was out of my reach. Was out of my boots, and I bet it all for the money. I'm all good, man. So, man.
When I look at them all, yeah. Come on, girl, I come out for one more.
Get on your knees, cause you know.
Wasn't that nice, everyone? It started off with a nice little tribal theme and then turned into that. So, anyway, moving forward, the next match of the night, which was Triple H versus Daniel Bryan. Now, to not bear repeating the same song twice, we will now have Triple H's old song, The Gameplay, because, I mean, while I don't appreciate him as a human being, or at least who he was, I have to say, as a character, he's brought a lot of great matches and a lot of good to the WWE. Not the best, but I mean, he's brought a lot of good to it. And to pay him a little tribute of, upon putting a really good match on at WrestleMania, here is Triple H's theme, The Game by Motorhead.
Time to play the game. Time to play the game. It's all about the game, and how you play it, all about control. And if you can take it, all about your debt. And if you can pay it, it's all about pain. And who's gonna make it? I am the game, you don't wanna play me. I am control, no way you can shake me. I am heavy debt, no way you can pay me. I am the pain, and I know you can't take me. Look over your shoulder, ready to run, like a crazy bitch from a smoking gun. I am the game, and I make the rules. So move on out, you can die like a fool. Try to figure out what the moon's gonna be. Come on over, circle, why don't you ask me? Don't you forget there's a price you can pay. Cause I am the game and I want to play.
A match that was so good that I would have to say it was, well, you know what, we'll get to that a bit later. But either way, Daniel Bryan played the game, and he won. Unlike us, who just lost the game, and to any of you viewers out there, any listeners out there, we've all just lost the game. But moving onward, the Shield theme will be played, a song so, well, how about you just hear it, shall you?
Lima, Delta, Shield.
for the record, everyone, this song was 2 minutes and 43 seconds long. The match itself was only 14 seconds longer. I want that to sink in. We may just take a moment of silence, and by moment I mean the rest of our airtime, to really let that sink in, shall we? Shall we? The match so good that it makes you cough up blood afterwards. Yeah. So, you want to hear what I think about this match? Well, we'll talk about it a bit later. Now, the Battle Royale, the winner being a real American. No one's laughing, are they? But I will put on the Real Americans theme as kind of a way to just maybe make you feel a bit more pumped, a bit more hyped. If you weren't feeling hyped before, hopefully this not only gets you hyped, but keeps you hyped, stays you hyped. That pun did not work as well as I thought in my head. But either way, playing the Real Americans theme, Patriot. And moving forward, the match that it was an interesting match. I think we enjoyed the match itself. We enjoyed some of the ring psychology, but the ending, I assume, did not please many. So at the risk of, rather than getting riders at our door, I would rather put on a different song. So instead of John Cena's theme, I would like to put on Legacy by Eminem, however, the WWE promo remix. Here it is.
Heroes, children, they fight only for their own selfish vanity and greed. Hey, kid, all praise be to the virtue of hustle, loyalty, and respect. And who am I to say that?
What am I?
I used to be the type of kid that would always think the sky is falling. Why am I so differently wired? Am I a Martian? What kind of twisted experiment am I involved in? And I don't need no ugly psychologist trying to diagnose. I have all these underlying problems.
John Cena.
You remind me of one of those thoroughbred horses.
And he races.
And he wins.
And he wins. And the people, they just cheer for him.
But off in the distance, there's a woman's voice.
And if you fall, I'll get you. this is my
I really would like to thank Eminem for that. I know we've heard it a lot on the show, but I really would like to thank him because by giving this song to the WWE, it really brought something that I never would have ever thought could mix together and become something beautiful. Now, as I said before, playing John Cena's song would probably, you know, cause a little ripple, cause a little waves, and I feel the same about Lesnar's theme right now. So I think we'll just play the Undertaker versus Brock Lesnar promo, one of them, and hopefully you all will enjoy it.
It has become woefully apparent to my client that Randy Orton and Batista should get their title match out of the way, and the winner should fight Brock Lesnar for the championship at WrestleMania. Triple H and Stephanie McMahon have offered Brock Lesnar for the first time ever an open contract for WrestleMania. Brock Lesnar can name any opponent of his choosing and fight that opponent at WrestleMania, which, to my client, that's tantamount to a consolation prize. Triple H and Stephanie McMahon have imposed their authority on Brock Lesnar, and you can try to play that game with other people, but you're not going to play it with my client, Brock Lesnar. You will give Brock Lesnar victory to conquer or speak the name Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania together no more. That song was still pretty depressing. You know what? Honestly, I mean, I believe that Lesnar is a great competitor, and I feel as if that song was just as depressing, honestly, why not just play his theme? So how about we just play his theme? You know what? Just let's do it.
Let's do this!
Yeah!
thing gets better and better every single time I hear it. That little thing that's been going around the internet, the video is actually a bit longer. It is by Burt's Shirts, and honestly, just check it out. It's on YouTube, and it's just hilarious. I think it's something that definitely should be checked out by more people if they haven't already. And you know what? You know what? I'll say something, and I'll say this, and people may judge me for it, but I think if we've played Brock Lesnar's theme, why aren't we playing John Cena's? You know, I think people are going to disagree with me, but honestly, fine. If we have played Brock Lesnar's, let's play John Cena's right now. To everyone, please listen in. I think you'll enjoy it.
In the 1980s, a group of impressionable young men watched way too much television. Today, they survive as defenders of that forgotten era. If something or someone from the 80s is in jeopardy, and if you can find them, maybe you can hire the Chain Gang.
This is terrible. With the 80s held hostage, I'm history. My only hope is to find the Chain Gang.
The Chain Gang? I hear they're terrific. Will there be anything else, sir?
Not unless you can help me find the Chain Gang.
You're in luck.
Oh, you done did it now. Chaos, you should have put this one in the vault, man. They not ready. They don't know what's coming, man. Oh, we gotta drop this on them right here. Y'all ain't ready for this. Y'all ain't ready for none of that. Your boy's a bad man. And when you're made in the streets, make only clap a rapper's skirt. They be dropping the heat. Shock the world, now I'm standing alone. I flip fools like them clamshell cellular phones. You can't help but nod your head to the track. Fuck the water down, rap.
Together. With the mic in my hand, I'm a bad man. Keeping in the fight with the hands, I'm a bad man. Living in the streets, all my life, I'm a bad man.
What else can I say? He's a bad, bad man. And you know what? I'll tell you. If you don't like that song, then you're probably not Satish Ram, and you're probably a better person because of it. Now, moving forward, the next match of the night was... Oh, by the way, actually, before we move on, I credited Bird Shirts for Lesnar's Screaming Theme remix, and I would like to credit Satan for Bad, Bad Man, because if you need something like that, you go to Satan. Anyway, the next match of the night was the Divas Battle Royale, and let's play Let's Light It Up by AJ Lee, one of Satish Ram's favorite divas. Look who decided to show up early. If you heard a voice during AJ's song, that was Mr. Satish Ram coming in to listen to AJ's theme because, I mean, why wouldn't he? What's great is that I don't have his microphone on right now, so I can say anything I want to about him, and he can't retaliate. But what we're going to do is we're going to put on Daniel Bryan's theme, the man who won WrestleMania. He won the WWE World Heavyweight Championship or the WWE World Championship, depending on who you ask, Michael Cole. What are you doing? Why'd you say that twice during a night? Anyway, Daniel Bryan's theme is going to play right about now. That is an epic battle cry. But now, sadly, the music has come to an end, and you get to hear those guys talk and be those guys. By the way, that guy has now turned back into those guys because I am here, Matt Marrero, the host of the show, with my co-host, Satish Ram.
Right, who wasn't DJing for the last hour, but it's kind of funny just to think of you, like, DJing.
Oh, I was really bad at first, but it's okay. I got my groove in. Hey, did you know that Billy Gunn is apparently injured?
Hurt.
Not fatally, but very. Yeah.
At least he's not X-Pac. He didn't tear his asshole.
Yeah.
That actually happened to X-Pac.
With China, or was it in the... Was it?
No. I think it was a ring thing.
With China? Or?
Maybe. But,
Hi, hello everyone. So before we get into the nitty-gritty, let's talk about the pre-show. I would like to say that that might have been the best match on the card. Not really, but it was a damn good WrestleMania match.
No, it was good. Definitely brought the heat. They brought the WrestleMania quality. We're talking about WrestleMania. This is kind of cool. Like, wow. I was more upset last night, and, I mean, we'll obviously get to that. Because
yes, well,
overall, it's great because I rewatched it today, and overall, the match quality for most of the night was pretty much A+.
Yes, I think the issue is, and let's be
including
honest with
the
people. Let's be honest with the people, being the people's those guys people. We'll work that catchphrase out. But let's just be honest with
the
them.
People?
We weren't the guys of the the guys of the people. So the guys of the people weren't home for the entire WrestleMania. I came from a speech and debate tournament upstate, the state's finals. So, and you, for unknown reasons, I'm assuming you were there, and you just kind of drove back the second, Bray Wyatt and John Cena went south. You just drove all the way back and came home. You missed, apparently, the entire thing up until Undertaker, which
we'll
get to that later.
Two and a half hours. But, I mean, I watched it right after, because I had to see what went on, you know?
Oh, yeah. But it was great. I jumped in right as Undertaker thing ended. And again, we'll get to that later, listening public. But... starting off.
Yeah, that was me too, right? Where it was,
yeah.
I think I explained to you. I don't know if anyone out there was listening who had streamed it last night, but you probably had the same error that a few of us did. It wasn't that bad, but there were a few skips where some spots would repeat. And what happened to me was I was seeing some major spots replayed a couple times in a row. So after Brock Lesnar put The Undertaker into Kimura Lock 8 times with JBL repeating the call, I decided, hey, I'll go refresh my stream. Coming back, all I heard was, dun, 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 dun. And I flipped out because I didn't know what
was
going
canceled.
On.
Christmas was canceled in the Ram home.
I'm an atheist. But let's roll with the pre-show as you started off with.
Yes, the pre-show, I would have to say, well, I technically started off with the Divas match. That was my first match at WrestleMania, so I didn't have high hopes. The main event proved well, but again, as we keep on saying, we'll get to that later, the pre-show was very good. It really brought that energy, and I think all four teams really did their best, and they really brought their A-game, which is funny to say of Curtis Axel, but he really brought something, and they all
Curtis
brought
Axel
something.
Brought some personality, and I was pretty happy, because it seemed kind of dumb at first. By the way, the mix of their theme song is horribad, but
he brought some
personality, and I was kind of okay, because, see, again, he can go in the ring. Like, you can use this guy as a mid-carder, but there has to be a reason people don't want to leave the TV when he comes on.
Yeah.
So he has to be more than annoying, and he showed a little personality last night, and they had a lot of nice spots, a lot of good moments. Cesaro doing a lot of them. The finish on him was excellent, too. It was a slight, it wasn't as perfect as I thought it would be, but...
But what I think is I think it made everyone really sit down and go, oh, good, because I think if Cesaro had taken the pin cleanly by one of them, a lot of people would have been upset. But it took two of them down, two of them to take him down, and yet he still pulls the win later. We'll get to that later, but he still pulls the win later. People know, you watched, and it's just that much, I think it's that cooler, where it's just, oh, it took two of them to take him down, and then yet he still perseveres through that, and then he wins later.
Right, so it was really just a fun match to watch, though. Tarito got under the action. The Usos were, both the Usos, Los Matadores, they were getting into it. They were being athletic. I was very happy.
Oh, yeah.
So, great way to lead off the card, get the crowd hyped up for WrestleMania.
And they would have stayed hyped.
Yeah.
But sadly, death.
But for most of the night, they stayed hyped.
Just one little moment that, one little 20-year setup.
Was it the Silverdome?
No, we were at the Gold Dome.
Right? I loved, I really watching that opening, by the way.
Yeah.
I love that they were able to keep the whole Rock WrestleMania thing a secret.
Yeah, that is, well, there were rumors, though. And
right,
people were saying, from the general public.
Stone Cold was confirmed
going
in.
Fair enough.
And I also didn't know what they were going to do. Whereas, like, you know, even if I had the idea, yeah, The Rock is going to be there, what's going to go on? But to have an opening segment with Hogan, Stone Cold, and The Rock, that was pretty cool.
Definitely. I was a bit concerned, though, because I the picture that confirmed Stone Cold coming, well, which I saw on Cage Side, one of the articles had him on the, what is it, the vehicle. What is the vehicle called? The is it a dirt bike? Is that what you call it? That he rides? Not dirt bike. What am I thinking of? Tell me,
the
a four-wheeler. Tell me. Zamboni. I thought he was going to ride in on the Zamboni, and I thought,
I thought
why
so
not?
Too, because A, the space, and B, the time they took from his theme to his entrance.
Yes.
Like, is he coming out on it? Is he coming out on it? But it was such a fun moment, and then at the end of it, JBL summed my feelings up, where he's like, my life is complete. That's how I felt, though, because it was fun. You know, and it wasn't, I know some people are like, oh, that might have been campy or something, but if you don't like campy, then why are you watching wrestling?
What I really think is, if you don't like the other segments that came about during the night, I'd kind of understand. If you didn't like certain segments, I'd understand. But that is the segment to like. That is the segment to keep people happy. Because everyone in that ring, I don't think anyone in that ring thought, I hate that other guy. And if they did, they didn't think of it too, like, it was all in fun and all like poking fun.
I hate Hogan too, you know, but he had, that was a fun moment. They did that well.
Exactly. You know, where all of them, and I think I really like that all of them have, you know, because none of them are currently on the roster, they can all mess with each other because, you know, what is Hogan going to do? I'll never work with Stone Cold again. When will you ever get the opportunity to do that?
And he deserved that, by the way, because he completely screwed it up. I mean, come on.
Oh, I know.
And I loved the laughs that they got out of it.
Oh, yeah. I have to give Hogan, the only thing I have to give him credit for is that he caught himself, which is nice because usually you don't catch yourself, or if you do, you choose not to correct yourself, Michael Cole.
I think it was the crowd, because the crowd started chanting Superdome. And
right,
he was
right,
like,
right.
Oh, I didn't say Superdome, did I, brother? Well,
I'm surprised
he
didn't say brother at the end of their catchphrases. Well, I remember he mentioned...
Did. Yeah, but he said at the end of his own. Which was a nice summation to the, you know, if you smell what The Rock is cooking, then that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so. Like, it was nice.
Yes. But it was a great segment, and I think it really, like I said, it got the crowd hyped up. And then the next match, Daniel Bryan versus Triple H, definitely got the crowd going. Triple H did not put on a bad match at all.
Package. I don't even want to go into the match yet. That video package had me in tears, because I just, it wasn't even just my wrestling fandom. It was just... It was the fight of a guy who had been told all his life that he couldn't be what he dreamed of being, and he finally had a chance. And it was just really – because I know it's a storyline thing, but you – all that are out there listening, you're aware of the fact that Daniel Bryan was not supposed to be this guy. He was 5'8". He was supposed to just be a mid-carder. And so that's not a story thing. That's real life. It was the same thing with CM Punk. That's why we got behind them so much. These guys were not supposed to
– We made them into this. Basically.
Right, we made them. So and then he credits us. Where, you know, he says in that promo where he's basically like, with you guys, I have the strength to fight because of you. Do you hear them? And it's just, I feel part of his fight, you know? I mean, obviously I'm not taking pain, and this is, again, a scripted show. But
yes, but I'll make you feel pain. I'll take away most of your joy. I met a man today who not only said he did not like Daniel Bryan and that he did not want him in the main event, he called him a B-plus player and actually quoted the fact that he's only 5'8".
Mm.
Yeah. How does that make you feel, Satish?
It makes me feel like I should remind you that April Fool's Day was last week.
I'm being serious. I met this man today.
Right,
he sat at our table.
I'm
going to introduce you to him, brother. I'm going to introduce you. I said induce, but then I tried to correct myself, but then I remembered I was Hulk Hogan.
No,
so I should have kept going.
That was a perfect Hogan promo right there.
Yeah, that
because
was a perfect.
Screwed up. So.
Yeah. Give me a hell yeah.
No, and I just feel like, well, you're being serious with me, that you think I'm sorry, that this someone you met today this, believes that...
Yes. And I'm being serious. And he said it was actually the worst WrestleMania ever. He didn't want to talk about it.
That's funny. Because match quality-wise, this was pretty damn good.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and
but,
it's how
and
funny
yet,
is it?
And that comes with me being angry at two of the booking decisions. Quite obviously, which they are. Which ones they are. Undertaker and John Cena. However... match quality outside of the Undertaker match, which is because he had a concussion.
Yeah, it's actually kind of upsetting. We'll get to that a bit later, but yeah, it's I just... Now I feel like a Doctor Who sketch. I don't know if anyone has seen the Doctor Who parody written by Stephen Moffat in the 90s, but just every 5 seconds they would make the joke, I'll explain later. So I think we're just becoming that. But we will actually explain later, don't worry.
Right,
because
we're
yeah,
going in order.
Yes, but yeah, he had a concussion, and
but I mean,
wow,
yeah.
I mean, he wrestled with that. And honestly, I know you believe the match quality was dull, and I'm going to admit it wasn't the best match in the world. But with a concussion, damn, Undertaker.
Yeah, that's basically
with
it.
With a concussion, you know,
I know,
any other superstar with a concussion, oh, we have to stop the match early. Could we just like not do this? Could we do maybe like one spot? No, Undertaker took three F5s with a concussion.
And before we go back to the Daniel Bryan Triple H thing, I want to mention, Sin Cara stopped a match because he may have dislocated a finger.
Exactly.
Undertaker
the
went through a match with Brock Lesnar.
Yeah.
And he had a concussion. I know it seems like a stupid move, but in terms of, like, manliness points...
Dedication? At least dedication.
And
know.
Dedication to the show must go on logic.
Oh, yeah. Because he could have...
At WrestleMania, of all places, for your health, yeah, you could have called out. You know, you could have just been concussed and quick-ended the match.
Yeah, we'll talk about, because we don't know which way it was supposed to end or going to end, and we'll talk about that later. But right now, I would like to mention, well, back to Triple H and Daniel Bryan, what else is there really to say? I mean, it was a great
match.
You
thought it should have gone longer? Because I loved it.
No, what I said was the end was very quick, and by the end I mean the actual like pin 1-2-3 because it was one of those blink and you'll miss it moments, which was very interesting.
Oh, well, I
like
it because he got to lay out Triple H in the middle of the ring with the same knee that buried John Cena, and it was like
that was
cool.
Yes.
So I was okay with it. I got really hyped because when he kicked out of the pedigree, I started getting really hyped. We're sitting there like, okay,
yes, of course,
he's going to do this. He's going to do this.
Yeah.
He might win clean.
Yeah.
And because, you know, we had all the rumors of the Fatal 4-Way coming into WrestleMania 30.
Right,
like, don't do the Fatal 4-Way. Don't do
because
the
even
Fatal
though,
4-Way.
Because even though you and I jumped in at the end, we still didn't know whether or not he won cleanly, whether or not we were going to get a Hogan or Stone Cold coming out saying, you know, it's like, you shouldn't do this, brother, being Stone Cold. And then Hulk Hogan says, you know, give me heck yes. And then... That's their catchphrase.
But I mean,
right?
I had updates from the two young ladies I mentioned often on here, Maddie and Mona, throughout the night. But it was still something I wanted to see myself the entire evening.
You must only choose one, Satish.
It really was a good match, though.
Oh
yeah, I enjoyed it. It ended the way it should have. With Daniel Bryan going over on Triple H and them attacking him after out of anger.
It was perfect. I can't believe if anyone says, because I've heard some people say, oh, it was very... It's funny how before WrestleMania, all you hear is Daniel Bryan hype and Daniel Bryan, and not even from the WWE, I mean outside of it, everyone's like, yeah, Daniel Bryan. The second he wins, now you start to see certain people coming out. You know, the tactics that they used were very cliché. I don't know if we need Daniel Bryan as our WWE champion. And it's just, and you sit there and you're just like, really? Where were you guys before? You guys just popped up out of nowhere to start complaining.
Now, I can understand the argument that Daniel Bryan is forever more interesting in the chase than he is as champion.
Yes.
Because that goes for a lot of people.
Yes.
But
I'm referring to the actual, people were saying that the fact that, yo, he was attacked and now all of a sudden he's, you know, he's being treated this way like a John Cena. And it's like, really?
No, he's not a John Cena because of the fact that one night and one WrestleMania moment does not a John Cena make.
No, he overcame the odds. I mean, I don't understand why that's really hard.
And people can overcome the odds, and it was good that he did, because what other plausible ending was there after you torture this man for the better part of 8 months, maybe?
That's what I'm probably going to talk about with the new friend, quote unquote, that I have that I met. I'm going to say, what did you want? Did you want Triple H to win all the titles? You know, is that what are we doing here?
We didn't even mention, because you just remember me, because I remember Stephanie saying the next WWE World Heavyweight Champion.
Yes,
Triple H is still king of WrestleMania entrances.
Oh, huh. Yeah, I don't know why we didn't mention that. Had I been able to find a clean version of that, I would have played that instead of the game. I mean, I was happy to play the game, but I would have played that immediately.
It was so cool. And I know people think, oh, yeah, it's cliche, Game of Thrones-y, whatever. Dude, he did this back at, like, in 2007, and it was cool with the King of Kings. He did it now, and it was still awesome. Just enjoy it. It's getting better and better with yourself. It's getting very creepy, though.
It's getting very, because it's like, it's about three shades, so 50 shades away from being Illuminati. It's really close.
That was really close. Okay. The skull symbol?
Yes.
When he used to come out in old Raw, that used to be the skull thing on his Titantron.
No, I know, but it's just the way it was made, the women and everything, it's just, you know, the way he came out, I just was just like, all right, let's get this off my TV screen.
But seriously, though, it was beautiful.
It was something, because, and then Daniel Bryan just gets his little tiny,
I love the contrast, because it was sort of like how full of himself he is.
Yeah.
You know, how much he needs to be this guy. And then you have Daniel Bryan coming down with nothing but the fans. And that was cool to me, you know, because that was him emphasizing the man of the people that he is.
Definitely.
Because he's never going to be John Cena. He may have a John Cena light era, but he's
not. Oh, yeah, maybe. But, no, honestly, I would say he's going to be a Mick Foley. And we will talk about that later when I mention something, but I definitely feel like he will be Mick Foley.
That's interesting. We'll get to that.
But, moving on to the next match. Sadly, you didn't get to hear this, but I'll explain this to you now. I was telling the viewers before. The Shield theme is 2 minutes and 47 seconds.
Yes.
Well, actually, 2:43. The match was 2:57. The match was 14 seconds longer than the Shield's opening.
I'm okay with it because they won. but stop putting it into perspective for me. Because some people were like, hey, you know what got more time than the Shield match last night? The Divas match?
Yeah.
Undertaker's
got four
entrance?
More
going on. Yeah. I was like, stop! Shut up! I know!
I didn't even think about Taker.
The Undertaker's match took 7 minutes. That's fine.
Yeah. But it's just...
Hulk Hogan, The Rock, and Stone Cold got more time than
this. I think the issue, the big issue is that it was meant to be a squash match, right? But the issue is, and no disrespect to the older guys, because I'm a big fan of, you know, older wrestlers, especially, you know, ones that are trying to come back and who are good. Because the New Age Outlaws are good. They aren't great. They aren't excellent. But, hell, they can put on a better match than Batista can because they won't be gassed as quick. However,
Except for last night,
there was a lot of rest spots.
Right, true. But, yes, go on.
But so my issue, though, is that it's like, oh, they squashed Kane and, you know, New Age Outlaws. Whoa, look at them. It's like, but wait, but the New Age Outlaws, I mean, JBL even said it. It's a combined age of 100 when they double powerbomb them. You know, so it's just like, wait a minute. So these guys are really old. Kane is still Kane, but he's taken the corporate role, which means that he's a weak heel. Or even if he's become a monster, it's mostly with the help of these other tag teams. So who really got squashed here?
No, I think it's just a testament to the fact that the Shield were put over in a way it's like, you know what? If you gave them an actual match, that the Shield could dispose of these guys in 10 seconds flat. That kind of thing. You know?
Yeah.
And I understand the disappointment with the Shield, like the whole thing, but my only disappointment was that I wanted more in terms of match time because
that's what I enjoyed the Shield. That's exactly how I feel. Not only that, because... No, but another thing is that they're so good at what they can do. This is really wasting their talents on such a squash match at WrestleMania.
I don't think it's a waste of the talent because they still got, they got their dominant win.
Yes, fair enough.
You know what I mean? If you put on a longer, people would criticize the opposite, where if they put on like a longer match, people are like, this is the Shield. Why are the New Age Outlaws putting up a fight? Do you know what I mean?
I don't even – the thing is, I don't even want – that. I don't even want a 30-minute match. Just maybe another couple minutes. I feel.
But
as
I
if,
understand.
You know,
I get it. I do. Because I do – I wanted a longer match, too, because why not? These are three extremely talented young men.
Yeah.
But you know what? It's not going to be their first WrestleMania. I mean, it's not going to be the last WrestleMania. I'm sorry. Wow.
Yes. No.
Well, Hogan.
Well, it won't. Yeah, you're, oh no, we're all Hogan now. Hogan the early part of this podcast. Excuse me.
I like that. If we want to retcon something, we can just say we Hoganed and just
yeah.
We Hoganed when I tried to sign on earlier.
Yeah, just listen here, sister. Oh damn it! I meant brother.
We need to do that. We ever got an email caller? Have we given out the number, by the way?
We did not give out a number because we were going to do it at the hour 30 mark, but how about we just give it out right now? The number to call if you want to tell us your WrestleMania concerns, woes, worries, happiness. There's also happiness involved. The number for guests is 718-664-9468. 718-664-9468. We'd really like to hear from you, and we think that, I would love to hear from our fans, but moving on with the actual card itself. Let's see. So we've gotten. What have we gotten through so far? We've gotten through. Oh, you didn't know.
Well, we got through
right.
the Shield
through
there.
That.
We got through the Shield,
through
and we got through Daniel Bryan and Triple H.
And now
the,
on to
pre-show.
Yeah, and
Battle
now
Royale,
on to.
Right?
Yes. Oh, Battle Royale. Yes. Wow. I was immediately jumping to Bray Wyatt and John Cena. Yeah, I think I wanted to get the bat out of the way, but we'll go to the Battle Royale.
No,
Battle
we gotta
Royale
go in
was
order.
Actually really interesting. I did like what they were doing with it. The only thing I think is an issue is when a guy wins your Battle Royale, I want to see him for most of the match.
First thought on the Battle Royale. Yoshitatsu and Justin fucking Gabriel.
Unfortunately,
idiot scripted Yoshi to go on first? I know I'm a Yoshi fanboy. Shut up. But Brad Maddox was eliminated after Yoshitatsu.
That is super upsetting. Believe me, I agree with you completely. You actually got me into
enjoying
Yoshi
listening. There are three people out there that are Yoshi fans. They're like, man, I'm not alone anymore.
Oh, no, I thought you were saying we only had three listeners, and I was going to say,
one of them
is a Yoshitatsu fan. Okay.
But there's,
what if there's only three?
Yoshitatsu fans, and
there's
they're trying to find me.
Fans. Yeah, right now there's like
this
guy, man.
Because we're across the U.S. One's in, like, Montana. And it's like, where is he? He makes sense. Find him and let him champion the Yoshitatsu.
One is in Germany. One is in Germany. You know this Yoshitatsu.
Damn it.
One is in Germany.
why is he in Germany? And then,
just
make the last one in Japan because it's like Yoshi's family member or something.
No, even Yoshi's family members, because of what they've seen of Yoshi on television, they're just like, nope, great dishonor. Just, nope, it's not happiness. It's not even... He's on NXT. What is that? That doesn't sound like WWE to me. Nope, he's lying. Nope.
Yeah, so jokes aside, I was really happy to see them. I know it was handled crappy, but it
Justin
only bothered
Gabriel.
Me because they didn't make a bigger deal of the fact that these quote unquote like mystery spots were filled.
Yes, that is a big issue. Is where it's just like there's only missed deals. Only 27 people have been announced the next day. Here's our battle royal.
Yeah, because that was It was. Okay. I assume the last three were Yoshitatsu, Justin Gabriel, and I can't really.
David Otunga.
Maybe because he wasn't. Otunga was in there, right?
Yeah, he got thrown out.
I'm sorry. It was a bit of a confusing thing for me, and I understood your argument in the beginning about the fact that we didn't really see Cesaro until towards. I mean, Cesaro wasn't even supposed to be part of the match, you know.
Yeah, I mean that. I think
he was
put in
as a replacement for Christian. And I wonder if he was originally supposed to be part of the match anyway, as part of those, non-mentioned people.
Yes.
But
I wonder. What if Christian was supposed to win?
What if this was
Christian's moment in the sun, and then he just got a concussion?
Then he's
going to
be really pissed about getting a concussion.
Yeah.
But I don't think it works that way, where it's like, okay, so the guy that we put in for Christian has to win. You know, so.
Yeah, it could have been anyone. Sadly, Yoshitatsu didn't get that role.
Justin Gabriel is the replacement for Christian. It's like, Christian's going to win. Who is this guy, and why is he doing 450 splashes for fun?
You know what I really loved about Justin Gabriel? From behind, I was like, awesome, 2007 CM Punk.
Right?
It was great.
And that's funny, because Justin Gabriel was always like the most clean-cut guy to me, and then I see him again. I feel like they locked him in a cave, and then they went back to him. Justin, it's time. Really? It is time. You're going to be at WrestleMania. you're not lying to me? Yeah. He's got a beard and everything. He's lost weight because they've kept him on, like, a steady diet of little things. And that was the Justin Gabriel we saw last night, where he hasn't been able to shave for 2 years.
The only thing that he's had to eat are berries and his own tears. That's all he's had to live off of.
And I do this because I love Justin Gabriel. I'm a huge fan. But
we've played WWE 13 so many times with Justin Gabriel.
And it was funny because I did it almost as a joke, by the way. Because I didn't even want to go into this. But I was looking, because we played so much in 13 that we constantly would do a thing like, can we try someone we haven't tried?
Yes.
I'm looking for high flyers. I see Justin Gabriel. I'm like, his finisher's the 450. I don't know what his other moves are. Why not go with it? His signature's the Swanton Bomb. What? One of his standing grapples is a super kick. It's like, Justin Gabriel, you have the coolest moveset.
Yeah, it's
ever.
Just amazing. I remember, like, we always fight Elimination Chambers to rack up online points, and he's just doing 450 splashes to me as if they're nothing, over and over and over again. It's a beautiful thing, honestly.
Justin Gabriel. Justin Gabriel.
You almost beat Undertaker
3 in the morning.
As Justin Gabriel in WWE 14 when you've never played 14 in your life.
That's right. That's a story from our college. I like Justin Gabriel.
How good is Justin Gabriel?
How good is Justin Gabriel? That's
he almost funny. Ended the streak. You know what? Honestly, I think I'm okay with it.
When we get WWE 14?
Yeah. No, I think it's okay now. I think Brock Lesnar, better than Justin Gabriel ending the streak.
You know what really sucks? Isn't
what?
Like the focal point of WWE 14 like breaking the streak mode?
Yes, yeah, so you could play. You could play as Justin Gabriel and break
matter.
The streak.
Now it doesn't matter. Justin Gabriel can break the streak in our heads because we can't make the argument, oh, that doesn't make sense, because Brock Lesnar. So why not?
Brock.
As I get rid of my tears. But no, Battle Rock, fun spots. Kofi Kingston's made a living of saving himself in these really cool ways, right?
And it's beautiful because I was really worried that he wasn't going to do it. Because it's just like, oh, no, he fell out. Wait. No, he fell on the steps. And they're just like, no, the steps don't count this year.
Yeah, it was just his feet on the floor. And I didn't see that coming. I was like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
How? How does he keep doing these things? What else
man,
is cool?
He's great.
Cesaro dominated a lot of the match in terms of his eliminations because they look cool. I don't know if
by
you
the end.
By remember
the end,
his elimination
knew that
to Ray,
there.
Though. I loved his elimination to Ray, trying to jump back
no,
in the
yes.
ring.
It was beautiful. I mean, I saw it coming, and I was so happy that I did, because I wasn't disappointed.
Yeah, no, I liked it, too. Also, crowd fandangoing, that was good.
Yes, although that was very disappointing. That two streaks ended that night. Two streaks ended. Fandango's 1-0 is now 1-1. We must mourn him more than The Undertaker. Actually, we should mourn him more than The Undertaker. Hear me out here. Everyone listening, and Satish, hear me out here. Fandango is new, right? And when you're new, like, The Undertaker, is even though the streak has ended, he's already over, you know? No one's going to say, oh, Undertaker's weak, right? Fandango, they were pushing him so hard. Vince wanted him to, you know, be a big thing. And they got the crowd behind him. Heck, they're still behind him because they're still Fandangoing. And you know, he wins at WrestleMania, you know, 29 last year, and he beats Chris Jericho, and everything's going well, and then it's just, here we are.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel worse for Fandango, actually, because The Undertaker woke up the night after WrestleMania and went, well, I'm The Undertaker. Fandango woke up the next night and went, oh, I'm Fandango. So, at those levels...
Fandango's WrestleMania streak was broken.
That's what we just talked about, yes.
That's terrible.
Yeah, definitely.
That's terrible. That's a tragedy.
Oh, yeah, and who broke it again?
It's really hitting me now, Matt. It's really hitting me. Like, wow.
I can tell by the sarcasm in your voice that it definitely is.
It didn't hit me last night when I saw him get thrown out by somebody who I don't remember now.
Wasn't it? I want to say it was ADR.
I assume it was because ADR threw out a lot of people he had no business throwing out in that match.
Oh, I wanted to kill him. I was actually getting extremely upset by ADR's random eliminations.
Yeah, because, I mean, I guess they're trying to build him as an upper mid-carder. Well, not build him.
Well,
keep him as an upper mid-carder. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I say build because he's gotten some random booking losses lately as well.
Yeah, I just don't know what they're going to do. I assume he's going to fight with Big E because
Honestly, he beat Big E coming
into WrestleMania?
Yes.
But, I mean, notice the confusion in my voice because it's just like, I guess Big E's going to go him, right?
Yes, yes, at Extreme Rules, apparently, in a Intercontinental Championship match that will hopefully, you know, make the title rise a bit higher.
Honestly, I'll just be glad that there's an Intercontinental title match.
Yeah, yeah. But what I have to say, what I think about the Battle Royale is, by the time the last 10 guys got in, we're there, rather, great match. You know, that's when they know, okay, so-and-so is eliminating, so-and-so is eliminating, so-and-so. Before that, I feel like no one cared. I feel like they just thought, yeah, you can't be in the match anymore. So throw the person out. But who will throw the person out? It doesn't matter. So where you get things like, so did ADR just, like, eliminate Dolph Ziggler? You know, like little things like that. Although Dolph, I believe, made it to the last 10. But people of that stature where you're just like, you have no business doing that, and yet you just did. All right. Tyson Kidd getting eliminated really upset me, if only because, I know this sounds stupid, but he's on Total Divas, meaning that you would think they'd be like, oh, yeah, promote that show, like they've been doing a lot. So Tyson Kidd, I only see him for literally 5 seconds when he's been in the match the entire time and then gets pushed off the top rope.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. Like, hey, Tyson Kidd's here. Didn't see him among the first 30. Actually, he may have been the 30th entrant.
I kind of wish they put some more entrances, by the way, because I'm a markout for entrances, and I just kind of, like, even if they just did it really quickly.
Yes.
Where, like, a quick flash of their theme song, or they showed them going down to the ring.
Oh, yeah, that would have been great. But
it would have been nice, because we had the time.
I think we spent too much time on this. Well, we did have the time, but I think we spent way too much time on the Battle Royale.
Let's move on to the meat of the night.
Yeah. Woo-hoo. Okay, here's the thing. In actually watching the match, no, but hear me out, though. In actually watching the match, there was so much great, I mean, ring psychology and everything. And having Bray do all the things that he did, I think even though John Cena won, in no way does it mean that Bray lost.
Lol, Cena wins.
Oh, hush you. We were talking about
this. I'll be serious with you.
Yes. Yeah.
It was an excellent match.
Yes, and as we both agree, Cena had no business winning. But at the same time, what can happen is we can still have Bray winning at Extreme Rules, and while people will say, oh, it's a lesser pay-per-view, but we have the network now. So technically every pay-per-view is a pay-per-view. I mean, nothing's WrestleMania, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But with the fact that with the network now, they can't just think, oh, yeah, that's a B-level pay-per-view. No, you need people watching every single pay-per-view thinking, oh, I got to go see the next one. You know, basically thinking like, oh, I don't want to, you know, instead of thinking, oh, I should cancel this. So you can have Bray win at the next, and I think it's going to happen because I think even though Bray lost, there's just so many things that he did during the match that will make John Cena still question himself. Even though he did not take the chair, still, most of the things that Cena did during that match could easily make Bray go, you know, you won the battle, but you have not won the war, or say, you think you've won, and honestly, yes, you did win the match on paper, but look at you, John. Look at what I made you do. That's all.
Do you remember when Kane was doing that thing with Cena when it was supposed to be like embrace the hate and all that crap?
No. But that sounds interesting. That sounds like something that should happen.
No, it was, but it was handled horribly. So this is what it should have been.
Okay, good.
Because it was handled well.
Right. So I feel as if that's what could happen, and, you know, Bray can pick up the win, just not at WrestleMania, sadly.
I hope they had him move people around. Cena had no business going over if this was the end of it.
I don't think this will be the end of it, if only because, I mean, Cena did certain things during that. And if it is the end of it, I think maybe something, it might be a kind of Daniel Bryan kind of transition. Someone or something will transition into trying to fight Bray in a way that will make people, sadly, forget that Cena ever happened, because that's what the WWE likes to do. They like to just, you know, immediately make you forget and make you think, oh, that's right. Bray Wyatt did fight Daniel Bryan. I completely forgot about that because immediately out of nowhere, John Cena became a threat to Bray Wyatt, and Daniel Bryan remembered, oh, that's right, I was going after that title. And then he ran right back to that.
Right. And by the way, we've closing in about an hour left, so just to throw this out there again, if you're out there listening and you'd like to call in, argue with us, talk, mention anything you'd like, promote a show, 718-664-9468. That's 718-664-9468.
But, also, yeah, like us on the Facebook, Those Guys on the Radio.
Right, yeah, we've got a Facebook page if you'd like to go ahead and like.
Definitely, because
that,
we, you know,
we
because
really...
we'll always, because we always update our shows and everything, you know, on the Facebook, and sometimes our times change, so, you know, tomorrow may not be, you know, be going on at the same time that we are today, so Facebook will definitely be a great way of helping you know that, oh, today we're doing wrestling, oh, tomorrow we're doing, you know, comics, next day we're doing How I Met Your Mother. Yes, those are actual things that are actually going to happen in the near future.
Actual things that are actually going to happen. The How I Met Your Mother one is going to be a hell of a doozy. But
we may even tear that up more than we've done currently with WrestleMania 30. So
right.
He said
because WrestleMania
to say
30,
about John,
in its essence, wasn't bad. It was
no,
just
it just had some really poor
two
booking decisions.
Booking moments that made me feel weird.
Exactly, and now we move on to the next one. You know, Undertaker versus Brock Lesnar. Speaking of all those concussions, there have been some rumors, these are only rumors, mind you, that there's a good chance that Undertaker not necessarily called it quits, but, like, you know, like during the match it was meant to go differently, but then because of the concussion, either the match changed on the fly or Undertaker didn't expect to be counted. Like, he didn't know where he was, and during the three count, it happened, and then everyone went, wait, what?
No, I mean, honestly, if he had the wherewithal,
yeah.
If he had the wherewithal to
say
that he was going to continue the match,
mm-hmm.
and he looked like he knew what he was doing. Like, I'm actually rewatching the match as we talk right now, because I was rewatching WrestleMania when we started off, and I'm rewatching right now. He looks like he's pretty much in control of himself, and I think I just don't, you know, I don't know how
to
describe it, honestly.
I heard from a friend, which I disagree with, but I've heard from a friend that it looked like as if the pin was a fast count. Could have been his stream or could have been what he was watching, but it looked like a fast count.
No, a few people said that, but it's not like Taker kicked out at 3.2.
Right, right.
You understand what I mean?
Right.
So you can make the argument for a fast count if the guy kicks out right after or something, but he was down for 3 and then 4. So...
Right.
You know, even if he counted to 4, he would have been down. So I figure he was selling
that. I want to see what we're going to do with this. Because
I do, too. Because my argument towards it, Lesnar needs to put somebody over now. Like Roman Reigns, not like now right away, but he has to use this to put somebody over big time.
Be someone who is now saying, you know what? I'm going to be on the roster from now on. I'm going to make that jump. You know, even if he appears at select dates,
can
still
he do that? Like with his stomach issue?
What I would say is this. What I would say is what he could do is only wrestle at pay-per-views, as bad as it may sound, only wrestle at pay-per-views, but kick ass. Basically squash a bit. Or at the very least, get his ass kicked so that at a pay-per-view he can kick some ass. Basically, put him do a better version of Batista, because the way Brock looks in the ring and everything, he does look like a bit of a better version of Batista, I feel. So I think he can go the distance, or maybe not house shows. Again, it would turn into a Batista light kind of thing, but it has to be done, if only because he did it. You know, it went to a veteran that is not even a veteran. He's, you know, he's a guy who has done a lot of negativity by this company, yet they still decided to give it to him, I'm assuming, based on Taker's decision.
Hey, Brock tried to sue wrestling. At the end of the day, right?
Yeah.
No, it's just a part-timer came back and ended the streak. And I know there are arguments as to why this is cool and all that, and some people are happy because they just want to hate on The Undertaker, and that's fine. But I mean, it just left such a sour taste in my mouth that, and it was shock at first. It was definitely shock at first. So, kudos WWE, you got me.
Yeah,
kudos.
I think that's the issue.
You definitely got me, and I think I angrily said this to you last night, right? Where I said WWE
like
is 12. They're more interested sometimes in saying, "Oh, we got you," than doing something that makes sense in story and sometimes even for business. I mean, one of the arguments back about a year or two ago when Jericho came back. Jericho was supposed to win the Rumble. But because everybody was on point with the Jericho winning the Rumble, they gave it to Sheamus and got Jericho the title shot another way. And it was just so dumb, where it was like, you could have saved yourself trouble. But no, you had to go ahead and be like, ha, we got you. You all thought Jericho, but it wasn't. Yay.
And at least in that case, it's not a streak. You know, I think the big issue is that it was just, okay, part-time, you know, I understand someone saying, oh, I mean, you've even made this argument to me. If Roman Reigns wins it, you know, and you know, because he's so young and they use it to kind of push him up, either everyone starts to hate him because he beat the streak, or the next day he kills his family and it's just, oh, God, we gave it away to this guy.
Right.
But honestly, while Lesnar is nowhere near, you know, killing his family level,
I make really,
really
abstract arguments.
They still need to, well, yeah, right, no one's ever done that, but they still need to, they really need to think, like, while he isn't on killing his family level, he's still on a level of, do you guys understand what you just did? Because, technically you could say that about anyone, but if Daniel Bryan had broken it, while some people would be angry, at the same time, I think if they both shook each other's hands, they were all happy and cheery about it, you know, at the end of the day, they both skipped, you know, out of the ring holding hands, everyone would be very happy, still pretty confused, though. But with Brock Lesnar, it's just, okay, so he did this. What's happening from here? Like, we already knew Brock Lesnar was the beast. Brock Lesnar was liked by the fans. He could do anything, but not this. You know, Brock Lesnar could walk into the building, demand a title shot, we'd all nod. He can, you know, continue, honestly, I'm done with, continue.
No, because Brock has been used in a way to put over competition. You know, hell, he's been used to lose to John Cena. And it kind of bothers me because if this was Brock's the whole thing was handled badly because if it was his first match in a comeback, then it dishonors the streak. And the way that you've built him since he's been back these last few years,
yes,
it still dishonors the streak because he's been used to put guys over.
Yeah.
And now I sit here and it's like, but you were able to beat The Undertaker. And I know that The Undertaker's older and eventually he's supposed to be beaten. And there is logic behind it, you know? But
yeah,
in the grand scope of things, I can't say that I was really happy with a part-timer ending a 20-plus-year-old streak that became one of the synonymous things with WrestleMania, you know?
Yeah.
Last year because a part-timer is getting too much stuff. And
well, that's a rumor, but if there actually is any, you know,
this is mud in his eye, though. Because
oh, yeah. Well, I have to say, though, if I was CM Punk, see, I have a strange feeling, though, that CM Punk heard about this and laughed it off, though, because...
Yeah, I would say, at this point, I'm sure he doesn't care.
No, I'm sure he cares. He laughed. It sucks, but I'm sure he sat there and thought, you know, I know I'm not CM Punk, but when you're in this position now where you're just not really in the company, and you sit here and you think, like, what? Like, you know, just really sitting there and contemplating, like, okay, you know, if that's the route you want to go, guys. And again, Undertaker chose it, so good for him. I'm happy he believes that Lesnar is that guy. But I still think that we are allowed to, you know, say, sorry, Undertaker, you were wrong. You know, this wasn't the best guy. Not even for business.
He really wanted to just get the streak over.
Yeah, you can tell.
You know, what was it? We read recently that he wanted to give it up in, like, 2010
to Punk, right?
To Lesnar or something?
Yes.
No, he wanted to give it up to Lesnar.
Oh, right, but they couldn't get Lesnar back, I believe.
Yeah.
Yes.
But, oh, my God.
I think it is? I think it's a bit of, like, an Undertaker Sting thing, where it's just, it looks great on paper because the paper was written about 5 years ago, 10 years ago, you know?
You know what's funny, though?
What?
I'm okay with Undertaker's thing happening now. If only because if it happens at WrestleMania next year,
yeah,
it's not a streak match.
Yeah, but I still don't think Sting needs to win his first match, because I'm assuming it would be his first match in WWE.
His first and only?
Yeah, I don't think he needs to win that match.
I mean, I don't know. But just Brock winning.
In a weird way, I'm hoping that either, you know, people, like, I am hoping that something comes up where it's just, oh, no, the ref was crooked, as stupid as it sounds. Something to not preserve the streak, because you can still have signs that say 21-1, but something that makes a bit of an air of doubt, you know, an air of something in there. Because I think it's just really awkward, to say the definitive, you know, the person who broke the streak definitively is Brock Lesnar. You know, and no matter how good Paul Heyman can build him up, it doesn't matter when Brock isn't going to appear till SummerSlam.
And just at the end of the day, I can't get over the fact that basically the message they sent, because if The Rock had beat, let's just say The Rock faced Undertaker at that WrestleMania and beat The Undertaker, right?
Right.
We would all be steaming. And so Brock obviously provides a bit more of a threat because UFC fighter instead of actor or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
But at the end of the day, basically the message that WWE sent was go out there, be famous, and we'll let you come back and shit on 22 years of great wrestling.
Oh,
Even though
you've actually not done, I mean, yeah, maybe they've buried hatchets, but still, even though you have not done well by us,
Sue WWE first, by the way. I forgot to mention that again.
Make sure
you sue WWE when you get famous, and then we'll give you the streak victory. That's how
it works. No matter what Punk does, he's doing it wrong. Because he left, right? That's the first thing.
Punk does, he's wrong. God forbid you to give your life to a company, and then the second you leave,
you don't sue
people
them.
People find
because
ways to turn on you.
Because he's been gone for 2 months and he has yet to sue them. I find that to be completely idiotic. He needs to get money from them ASAP. And then hopefully by 2020, he'll be able to return in a match that would be not bad, but oh good God, not the best in the world. And then he will in turn win a championship or something.
I don't even.
That'd be great. I would be super happy about that.
I would be, but if only because it would just be him mocking. But it would also sort of like, I don't know, would it make him?
We talked about this. Here's the thing. I made that joke where I was just like, honestly, he would do it just to mock the entire system of how that works.
So if he goes out there right now, let's say he does UFC this year, right? And then he acts in a movie next year. You think WWE is going to beg for him to come back?
Well, they actually already are. So I think it'll be at the point where Vince McMahon is going to be on his knees, except that this time it's not asking him something. It's going to be like, no, just put it right in my mouth. Just do it. Just please.
I don't even.
Just right now it's, hey, CM Punk, would you please come back? Please come back. Please come back. If in 3 years' time Punk has done UFC and a movie, Vince is pulling his pants down and bending over. And I mean that in the most non-metaphorical sense in the world.
And if you'd like to call in and join in the conversation about Vince McMahon going to whatever ends he needs to get CM Punk back, the number is 718-664-9468. That's 718-664-9468 to get Matt to stay quiet about Vince McMahon's favors to CM Punk. Please call. I am running the switchboard. I can put you on air immediately.
But let's move on, shall we? Because this is getting so depressing.
Go for it.
In Divas
match.
You know what? Let's go back to Undertaker losing his streak.
You know what? I'm gonna take a minute real quick about the fact that before the Undertaker Lesnar match, and we didn't mention this on another podcast, they made mention of the WWE Hall of Fame ceremony.
Yes.
Which I thought was fun. The class was pretty nice.
I heard Mr. T had a
really nice speech.
Yes, I was really excited because I heard Ultimate Warrior's speech or part of it, and I thought, oh, he didn't curse. He didn't, it was nice. He was like, you know, the children. I was like, oh, there's no, like, I don't know why I expected Ultimate Warrior to just come out and just be like, you know, hello, everyone. Fuck Hulk Hogan, bro, and then just kind of run away. So I was really happy he just had a normal speech. Although I think when they showed a shot of Randy Orton and I forgot who else looking at him, kind of like moving their heads, I was like, I think they're wondering, what's he going to say?
Because Warrior's a bit of a loose cannon. But I love, I don't have the quote exactly, but I think it was always the thing that Razor Ramon, you know, has talked about. Where it ends up basically saying, you know, dreams come true, bad times don't last forever, but bad guys do.
I know, that was beautiful.
I liked his thing, and I know that he's been through a lot of stuff, but
that's why he's overcame it all.
That's
you know,
yeah,
and
we
I
can,
think
we
that's
can,
what
we can
it
enjoy
is.
Certain moments. I will admit to that. You know,
definitely.
But
I'm really happy that happened.
Yeah, I mean, just going past how you know the streak again, because I don't even want to talk about it as much because I've ranted on enough. How I feel like, and I've got friends telling me right now. You know, I've got a friend of mine, Laura, who's telling me. They think she feels that they cheapened the streak by awarding it to Lesnar. And you know what? That's true.
Oh, yeah.
And we could sit here and sound off about this. We could go
off. How about
off,
you get
I...
Laura to call in, Satish?
I'm trying.
Laura,
you know, I'm trying. Laura I'm
doesn't
the number.
Sound. Laura doesn't sound like Mona or Addie.
Okay, so
now we're adding a third
show. Don't...
to the mix.
Don't even start.
How about you get Angie and Izzy to call too?
Oh, get over yourself.
How about you get
Let's
Camille
move on to
talk
the Divas
about CM
match.
Punk?
And you know what? No,
all
at
right,
the Divas
sure.
match, You know why I felt bad for these Divas, though? They went on after the decision to end the streak, and the crowd was so stunned that I'm pretty sure half of them could not basically recall what happened in that match.
Okay. Well, I can't either.
Like, if you
but
talk to
really,
them today, you can
yeah.
like, hey, do you remember the Divas match? No, and it's weird because there were some good spots in that match, and I felt
yes.
bad because they tried to put together a decent match with 14 Divas in one ring.
But it was 15.
I give up.
Only
I don't know.
14? Only 14, Satish? What's wrong with them? The more the merrier is what people usually say, but not in this case. I think that what I think about this match is I actually feel bad for Divas for another reason. There was a point where about, I want to say, yeah, there were three in the ring, and 12 were sprawled outside the ring. And you know what that said to me? Hey, punch one of them, and then they'll fall out, and then they'll be out for 5 minutes. That really puts a damper in the whole, like, equality thing. When you had a battle royale last for men, which lasted a while. Actually, I'm going to pull it up right now. Let's see how long it lasted. The battle royale for men, right, lasted, let's look at this.
And it is 14,
it lasted,
by the way. I'm not crazy. It's 14.
1240, okay, yes, 1247, right? Where
mm-hmm.
where it literally actually almost lasted half the time completely. 648 is the deepest
one. Well, do remember that we had an elimination thing for the men's battle royale. You know, and it was just one pinfall
for
the...
I understand. I know, but it was just... But but it's even worse then, because I know we were saying the match would be a clusterfuck, but, I mean, you have to have a lot of these women fighting against each other, clawing their way, but it just looked like, to me, it was... There was fighting, yes, but then eventually it's just, oh, look, all of them have managed to be knocked out. All of them. Not one. But
I know.
Let me get up.
I know.
That's terrible.
But to be honest, I couldn't get my opinions together because I was so stressed
yeah,
about 21-1 and so shocked. And talking to everybody that I knew that was a wrestling fan, just, did you see that? Yeah, did we just, I mean, and we had that WWE Network joke where somebody sent in the paragraph to WWE. Yes, I'm having a technical difficulty. I saw that Brock Lesnar has just beat Undertaker, and I'm sure that was some kind of video error where... You know, they're replaying some old match that they must have had. So
yeah.
It'd be really great if you could fix that and show me the real match outcome, because that's not what's supposed to happen.
Thank you.
But poor Divas.
I actually have a friend of mine who, actually, when I say friend, I mean Anthony San Andreas, the co-host of the Walking Dead season finale episode, who will actually
right.
be hosting on Friday, will be hosting this week's comic books episode, which will be talking about Batman Eternal, among a few other titles. And he used to be a wrestling fan, did not see this year's WrestleMania. I will quote him right now. Also, the fuck happened with The Undertaker last night?
Yeah, no, because...
I want to quote it, because that's everyone's response right now.
And it just... I mean, I guess we'll see in an hour's time when Raw jumps
yes.
on. But
yes.
there has to be something, you know.
There has
but
to be. I mean, you can't
I'm watching
yeah.
it right now again, I told you, and Brock just won, and the crowd is shocked.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's to the point where, you know, some people say, oh, yeah, you know, bad publicity is also good publicity, but it wasn't publicity. It was just silence. It was just complete
shock. Confusion and then disappointment throughout the Divas match, which was
the saddest. Another sad thing is that while I understand why you're not going to have Brock versus Taker as the main event, but my argument is if you're going to do that, make it the main event. Like, what idiot thought it's okay? The yes thing will get them happy again. I don't know if it was their mic.
I thought that would happen,
but
I mean,
it made me
happy. It just didn't make me as happy as it could have.
That's what I'm trying to say. Like, I feel as if, while it made you happy, while it made people get involved, again, maybe it was my speakers, maybe it was their microphones, it did not sound like as many people were chanting yes than I heard on Monday Night Raw.
Oh, well, I thought part of it was also, it was a WWE thing where it was like, you can have your Daniel Bryan, but we're going to take something near and dear from you.
No, I don't mean it like that. I mean, just in general, just the crowd sounded less enthusiastic.
Well, the crowd
and
definitely died off after the... I mean, I've heard reports of hundreds of people leaving after Undertaker lost, actually.
Wow. Great way to book a match, WWE. I'm not saying that he shouldn't have lost. I'm just saying that, you know, he should have... He's just... I don't know.
I just don't think it was handled well. And if this is the way that he has to go out, I'm going to be really disappointed. That's what I'll say about that.
Well, I don't think he'll be leaving before a Sting match. I just think maybe if there was going to be a Sting match at Extreme Rules, it's going to be pushed back a bit because of this concussion. So hope maybe Sting, you know, Undertaker at SummerSlam.
Oh yeah, quick point, Maddie pointed out to me that the acoustics of the arena weren't exactly the best, so it was hard to keep notion of, like, you know, how big the chants were, which is true.
Right. Fair enough. So moving on to, let's see, we are now going to be moving on to Daniel Bryan versus Batista versus Randy Orton, shall we?
Yeah, go for it.
You actually complained to me about the live band for Randy Orton.
Yeah, because as much as I didn't, I mean, A,
I liked
I
them.
Didn't really like it.
Oh, I
it was
like,
okay.
It wasn't worth it. It wasn't needed.
But you know what messed me up? And I don't know if you noticed this too. They started off the riff, I think, for his old theme song.
Yes, that was cool.
No, that pissed me off because I wanted his old theme song. I loved his old theme song.
The version that I have on my iPod starts it off with his old theme song, and then it turns into I Hear Voices.
Does it really?
Yes, the version that I have had.
I'll take back my comment. I mean, if so, then the kudos to them.
Yeah. I think they were just playing the full version.
I don't know. You said that you didn't think it was necessary, or did I interpret it that way? Is that how I felt?
That's the exact thing that I said, because it's like you had Bray Wyatt's thing happen, right? And I'll actually talk about that in a second. You had Bray Wyatt's thing happen with his band, but it was needed because Bray is the new guy coming in, and while Daniel Bryan isn't a new guy, still, you know, it would have been great to have a full orchestra on the side. You had the room, but to have, you know, Randy Orton's theme come up, it's like, okay, so you were able to secure those guys. Is that the reason why you did this? You know, why do we need to hear Randy Orton's theme right now? We don't. Especially when he's going to lose.
I just thought it was weird.
Yeah, it was completely out of left field in a way that just, they spent money that they didn't need to spend, honestly.
Because on the flip side, I liked the Bray Wyatt one a lot.
I liked it. It's just, first off, they aren't as good live as they are, you know, in
the
actual recording.
Are you freaking kidding me? The instrumental sounded awesome.
I meant his voice. See, sorry, I was referring to the...
The guitar riff sounded perfect. Like,
oh, yes.
I was like, okay.
And then the little satanic
thing beforehand, and yes, their outfits.
Satanic thing was great. Their outfits, now I'm starting to... It's funny.
Satanic thing was great. In and out of context, what a line.
Yes. Here's the thing, though, that I feel like they should have went full satanic because... And I don't know why... Triple H, too much Illuminati. Bray Wyatt, not enough Illuminati. Because they really should have been in, like, black robes, not exactly druids. If not druids, then how about red robes? You know, red robes and their makeup was great, but just the masks, too, were perfect. Just put them in robes, and I would have been so happy because these robes really make you think, like, oh, we're in a cult right now. Like, we're in a ritual.
What we should have done is give them black hoods, like if they were druids or something, and have them chanting, walking down to the ring with a coffin that said John Cena on it. I don't think that's been done before.
No, and I think that may be one of the... You know what I think they should also do? If sadly, Bray did lose, but what if he won this WrestleMania, right? You with me here?
Yeah.
And then he wins the next 21 of them. And then he loses to a returning Justin Gabriel. Because Justin Gabriel becomes a stunt actor.
Mm-hmm.
And he becomes, you know, really good at what he does. And he also even fights in UFC. So, you know, he could come back, Justin Gabriel could come back and actually beat Bray Wyatt in 22 years.
See, now you've torn me, because you know that I like Justin Gabriel, and you're throwing me a bone here, where it's not a returning other guy. It's a returning guy you like, and it's like you can't have it both ways.
Okay, fine then. Returning other guy, David Otunga.
Nope.
Well,
that would be insane. I don't think that WWE would ever do anything like that.
Never. They would never do
such a
thing.
Not like Brock Lesnar came back, and I'm going to cry.
It's okay, because no, he'll come back someday.
Daniel Bryan. Okay, you know, look, I'm gonna focus on the happy here. Daniel Bryan sledgehammered Triple H in the face.
Dude. I know. That was... I think the whole thing... Oh, speaking of Mick Foley, the reason why I mentioned Daniel Bryan could be the next Mick Foley, just the way I was screaming at my screen when he was being put into the stretcher, Mick Foley out of this, Daniel! Mick Foley out of it! Because Mick Foley is the guy who, you know, gets put through so much, and then as they're trying to get him out, he just goes, nope, no, I'm Mick Foley. No, I can do this. I can still get up.
Oh, no,
I'm
that
kind of
scared me for a minute, though. Because not only did I think for a minute... Because you looked over, you saw Randy Orton just laying there for a while, and his back is bleeding. You know, Daniel's actually not moving. And I'm sitting there like, how hurt is this guy? What are they
going to
do? Are they going to take him out of the match? Is this going to be the resolution that we're getting?
No, I was so nervous. I thought, no, this is what we're...
Because I was already bitter because they already took, you know, Undertaker's streak away from me. Where I was like, are they going to take this too? Are they going to get... But
honestly, they would have.
Shit-eating grin when he threw Daniel out of the ring and pinned Randy. I just had a million thoughts in my head and was like, this is what I was meant to do. This is what I came back for. One, this is it, man. Two, oh my God, no!
I know it was something that I agree with. I was really nervous because I thought, you know, oh no, this is because it's the perfect thing. You take him out of the match, and then all of a sudden the next night he didn't lose. He didn't want to be taken out, so now we're going to have another match at Extreme Rules for some reason, and he doesn't get his WrestleMania moment. I know Vince wanted him to have the moment, but Vince doesn't – I mean, he's in control, but Vince can get, you know, told no. CM Punk's been doing it. Vince can be told no. So I was really worried. Really, really worried. But thankfully, here we are.
I get it.
Everything's okay.
I was there too, man. I was there too.
Yeah, everything's okay. I have to say, the spot itself was glorious.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the fact that, you know, Batista bomb into an RKO was just wow. You know,
I
didn't think
it was a little bit loose. Like, it wasn't as great as I thought it would be. But the idea behind it, and then it was just funny. Where JBL was like, "This is definitely Batista's idea," and honestly, it was because
Orton lays there in pain. He's bleeding in a way that I don't think you could. You know, you don't really blade there. So it's just all
right.
He's actually in pain. Daniel Bryan, while still able to win the match, is probably in pain. And Batista's like, "Hey, I'm on
the table." Also scared me for a moment because I don't know if you remember back with that steel cage thing with Bray Wyatt. When there was the idea that he may have had concussion, or he had concussion symptoms and stuff.
Oh,
and
right.
And I was just
freaking
out for a bit because I was like, how serious is he hurt? Please don't actually be that hurt.
Yeah,
you know?
I mean, we already, you know, it's really scary because we already had one concussion that night with, you know, Undertaker. We didn't know about it. I mean, hell, even Billy Gunn
got
hurt.
Right, Billy Gunn got hurt.
Now, badly, like he was coughing up blood. He's fine now, apparently. But it was one of those things where...
Okay, I want to confirm that because
I heard that it was
really bad.
No, here's the issue. It could have been really bad, but what happened was it was like a blood vessel could have been pinched, and that is what caused him to, or even broken, which caused him to cough up blood. However, it isn't like something collapsed where, like a lung, like they were checking for that, and apparently from what I heard, last I heard, a lung didn't collapse, nothing that serious, but something did break in a way that could cause blood to get into your, you know, to get into your respiratory to just be like, cough. Oh, that's blood. We got to get this guy to a doctor. So it was
a random note, by the way, off Daniel Bryan's title win. His side plates have been changed to 3 S's. You know the side plates of the...
Yes. They've been changed to 3 S's now? Excuse me. That's wonderful. I'm so happy. So then that means that they're probably going to keep him for... If not the long run, at least they know that he might lose and gain it back. Because, I mean, heck, they haven't even made the titles won yet. Meaning that they don't have faith in that idea. But if he's changing the title, it's a bit like Edge. You know, they have faith that he's going to keep it at least for a month. It means
something. I hope so.
You know,
I really hope so.
As I've said, if he loses it in a month, or as we talked about, he's great in the chase. So if he loses it at Extreme Rules, he'll gain it at the next one. What's the next one? Battleground? No, that's the
You lost me there. I'm not completely sure.
Yeah, now they moved everything, guys. Seriously, they moved Battleground.
Yeah, because
now.
I know they
now,
switched
so
around some
screwed.
Of the new names and stuff like that. So I don't want to be the guy who throws out like, it's Battleground. We find out, no, Battleground's in November. Crap.
actually, Battleground is in July now? No, that's
right,
because
I know they moved it up. Ugh.
Okay. Well, because, you know, it's... But they got... But either way, what matters is that things are split up now. Because remember, Battleground last year was 3 weeks after a pay-per-view. 3 weeks. Imagine that. Just, I paid $60 for this 3 weeks later. Here's another $60. There's a reason why no one bought Battleground. There's a reason.
I mean, and it's weird because I was really worried about what was going to happen with WrestleMania, where there were a lot of moments where I sat there and I thought, I maybe have reason to stop watching wrestling.
I was going to lose a co-host, everyone. I was going to lose a co-host because
That's all you care about.
It's just like
I'm gonna lose a co-host.
Well, because think about it,
I could have been emotionally distraught. I was crying last night twice. Well, once for Happy Tears for Daniel Bryan, because you know that video package was really nice.
I didn't know you had that ability.
I didn't know I could produce tears either.
Well, look at you. You did. That's nice.
Oh, payback! Maddie, our staff researcher, which is wonderful for her, is telling
call
me that.
Call in, Maddie.
Payback.
You can. I know you can hear me.
Yes. Yeah,
I know you can hear me. Call in, Maddie. Our number is 718-664-9468. Let's hear your voice. I'm sure it's angelic. Want to prove me wrong? Think I'm a jerk? Call. Tell me.
You sound like a commercial. Like, just a shit-eating guy. Where he's like, want to
call 1-800-SISTER.
All right. Maddie's voice is angelic, but she's just not going to come on. She's a little bit shy, but it's okay. One day we'll have her on, and we'll talk about it.
Call 1-800-SISTER.
Yeah, Daniel Bryan
but
won.
Yeah.
Wow.
He won.
You know, I mean,
I know, because I agree with you. You know, I probably would have stopped too, because I wouldn't have known what to do with this podcast, but I would have felt as if I wanted to stop too, because you have Undertaker lose his streak, and then all of a sudden you have a Divas in a match. So it's a trifecta from hell. If he had lost the streak, the Divas had a match, and then you have Daniel Bryan losing to Batista, because it wouldn't have happened to Randy, because if it happened to Randy, I would have tried to argue with you to stay. A clean win for Randy, I would have argued. But Batista, I couldn't have said anything.
Right, and you know what? Kudos
what
to
I
them
said?
For making the right decision.
Oh, yeah. Because they could have done so much, yet they knew. They thought, you know, I'm sure they looked at Batista and they said, Dave, listen, you're going to get your shot. But maybe we'll do it closer to the movie. Because I'm assuming he's still going to get his shot. I'm assuming he isn't in a contract right now where he's never going to get a title shot again. He's going to be in the main event for a while. You know, he's going to, hell, he might fight Brock Lesnar next. They're going to do something with him.
I think that's a possibility. I just
don't
know.
I don't think, and
kill me for saying this phrase, but I just don't think they're going to blow their load that quick with Brock Lesnar. Where I think there's more to be done in terms of what he's going to do to put people over.
This is WWE right now. He's going to lose to Batista. Therefore, Batista beat The Undertaker.
Oh, don't even start me on that. Brock Lesnar beat The Undertaker. How many people have beaten Brock Lesnar recently? John Cena being one of them. By extension, Brock Lesnar is better than CM Punk. John Cena is better than The Undertaker. Well, John Cena is better than everybody, right?
Yeah, that's what I've heard.
But it just pisses me off because the John Cena-Bray Wyatt thing is what really pissed me off, because the only person Daniel Bryan lost to clean over these last few months was Bray Wyatt, right? And then Bray loses to Cena. But Daniel has beaten Cena.
And that's the issue.
We're supposed to have short memories as wrestling fans. We're not supposed to remember things happened. We're not supposed to remember that Undertaker was the American Badass.
Well, that's a good memory, I feel. Many people disagree with me, but that's a good memory.
Like to pretend like these things were not things.
Well, because, sadly, wrestling is always in a state of, well, we don't know what's going to happen next, so let's not care. Instead of, I mean, I understand that people get injured, you don't know what's going to happen. I'm sure there are a lot of people in the back going into this WrestleMania actually believing that this was not going to be Undertaker's last WrestleMania, so I can understand there being confusion every year, et cetera, et cetera, but it's just, you know, there are certain things. Like, I mean, hell, people didn't go into, in the back anyway, went into Brock Lesnar versus Big Show thinking, oh, Big Show's going to break his hand. It happens. But at the same time, there are just certain things that you need to remember when you're making your stories, and it's just really upsetting that they don't think about themselves as stories at this point, I think. I think they just, you know, they just think, well, you know what, the kids are watching, which is obvious. Kids are watching, I understand. And then the adults that are watching, they'll watch no matter what. So let's crush their dreams and hopes, because they won't care. And the only exception, thankfully, is Daniel Bryan. However, if we didn't support him 150%, if we only supported him like 80% or even 100%, they wouldn't have cared.
Because we mentioned this earlier, Daniel Bryan was not supposed to be this guy.
No, definitely not.
He was, and I'm really glad that he is, though. I really am.
Yeah. I am, and it's just, and it sucks because, you know, I mean, Punk, it's a bit scary because as much as I love CM Punk, what would have become, let's do another podcast, an hour long of WrestleMania What If, what would have become of Daniel Bryan had Punk been there to be in the Triple H match? Would Daniel Bryan
there's a lot
have
of talk
Jamie?
About that. Since, you know, we've got about 15 minutes left here, and we can just veer off for a little bit, and we basically had our Daniel Bryan one moment. That's really awesome, and it really is,
exactly.
Honestly.
It is.
The original plan was Punk was supposed to face Triple H.
And lose.
So Daniel would have been in a mix between whether he was going to be in the title match, which he likely wouldn't have been, or against potentially The Undertaker, because that's what Undertaker wanted.
You know, then honestly, I may have
now,
liked
here's
that
the interesting
WrestleMania
thing.
A bit better.
Yeah, but Punk would have lost to Triple H.
That's the only. It's funny because in both scenarios, there is no perfect scenario. In either scenario,
right, because John Cena would still. In all scenarios, John Cena still beats Bray Wyatt.
Yeah.
No matter what scenario.
Actually, no.
Happens.
Something could have changed had there been different. Okay, because think about it. If Triple H beats CM Punk, that's a heel win.
Am I thinking about Bizarro World or?
Yes. Triple H beat Punk. Bizarro.
Bizarro. That's where we are.
Bizarro. Think about it. If there's too many heel wins or something, or rather heel versus face or whatever, they may have given like Bray the heel, because I think technically like Batista would have been a face and. You know, so
well, Batista
like they
was originally,
had,
yeah, he was supposed to be the returning face hero kind of guy.
So they would have, I think they would have, like, given certain people, like, other wins over other people. And it could have been a completely different card, actually. Even if it had the same competitors, like the Shield versus New Age Outlaws and Kane, still, well, the Shield would have won. I'm assuming they would have won. There's still other matches that, you know, random people could have been flipped around, you know, simply because of... You know, one person, and that sucks to say. Actually, you would think that the company would actually have things planned out, but no.
Why? Because you've said this before. Now it's WrestleMania 30. They should be planning WrestleMania 31.
Yeah.
Not saying they should announce the matches now, but they should have a pretty clear idea of what they're going to do. You know, they shouldn't be able to do this stuff on the fly.
No, and I think that's their big issue is that they just think on the because I understand. Like I do, I will admit, even if you thought. Oh, what are we doing by WrestleMania 31? The plans would have changed almost completely. However, there is still a chance that if you think we want John Cena to fight someone, right, you would think, okay, make John Cena, you know, be a thing, you know, like, and then if it's like, oh, 2 months before John Cena's injured, oh, damn, he can't fight. Okay, we're done.
Right.
Because it's like, honestly, even if it's not to WrestleMania, think to SummerSlam. And I just don't think that they do. Or they try to think, well, who are we going to have at SummerSlam? And then they're going to be as vague as I just was. We want John Cena there.
Right.
Okay. But who is he going to fight at SummerSlam? Because at WrestleMania, by the time next WrestleMania comes around, you can have a bunch of new guys on the roster. I mean, heck, I'm sure by last WrestleMania, no one, like, they didn't even think Bray Wyatt will be fighting John Cena. So little things like that I understand as, you know, ways of just making, you know, like, you know, things a bit, changing them up and making them new and different. But when it comes to things like, oh, you know, I want, like, the Undertaker match, right? I feel as if this was a bit more, like, it was a bit newer than it should have been in terms of, like, them knowing that Undertaker was going to lose.
Mm-hmm.
Not a video package new, because I know by the time they made the packages and they picked the songs out, they knew he was going to lose. But I don't think they knew he was not, you know, he wasn't going to come out as the winner by mid last year, which is an issue, I feel. You know, I feel as if these things need to be done in such a, you know, advanced that it's just, you know how to book people. You know, I mean, when you have a battle royale, you really have to think, okay, who's going to be booked in this way? Because eventually, one of these guys, like Daniel Bryan and CM Punk should teach them a lot. And in that, not all their talent is going to be happy 24/7.
You can't teach heart, Matt.
What?
You can't teach heart and desire and, you know, the whole plight of the underdog. And not everybody's going to come out alive.
No, I understand, but it's just a thing of, like, you just have to sit there and go, okay. So, because you never know what's going to happen. I mean, I don't think one day Fandango will be the WWE World Heavyweight Champion, either under a different gimmick or with this gimmick. But the world is crazy now. Like, things are topsy-turvy and twisted now, so you really do have to sit there and think, okay, let's not make certain people look like dog shit. Because when you do, obviously they don't, but what I'm saying is it's that what's currently happening with this company and everything, they're going to have to change themselves because we're getting into a different age. You know, we're not into the old age of, well, we tell them what they will like, and then they will like it. No, we're getting into an age of the fans will boo you. Granted, the fans will cheer and boo anything, sadly, but the fans will boo you. You know, they will say, you know, and the fans will cheer people who aren't even in the company anymore and who may have never been. I'm actually waiting for those. I'm waiting for cheers for people who've never ever been associated with WWE. Like, I'm waiting for, like, Rosie O'Donnell. Like, I'm waiting for those cheers.
Oh, I thought you were going to say wrestlers with other companies, because I know we chanted Sting before. Rosie O'Donnell. Hey, Donald Trump got chanced. Even though he's a dick. But
he was there. But he was there. I'm talking about people who never appeared.
I think
Rosie
before.
Was on Raw, actually.
She was. We had that whole anonymous guest host thing. Anonymous GM, I'm sorry.
I wasn't there for that, and I think I'm a better person because of it.
Right, no, it was just only fun when Edge, like, completely decimated the computer out of anger. What are you doing, Edge? Step away from the computer, Edge. And then he just completely decimates the thing. And it was
I'm
great
so
because I think
that
he was a heel at the time.
But
everybody
got such
was so happy.
Cheers. Yeah. I'm so happy to hear that Hornswoggle was the computer the entire time. It really made sense.
Oh, God. I don't even.
Really
we're
did.
Not getting at this. We have 10 minutes left. So Raw's coming up tonight in about
40
minutes.
Oh, yes. Yes, Raw's coming up in 10 minutes. They're going to have the backstage pass. I suggest you watch it if you have the WWE Network. If you don't, go get some food
ready.
Don't
watch it, even if you have the WWE Network.
Hey, they do some cool things. Actually, think about it like this. It's post-WrestleMania. They're going to do some cool promos on that.
Or they're not. Because everyone's going to be thinking, it's post-WrestleMania. Let's watch the pass. No.
Or they're not, whichever one.
Or they're not.
Yeah, I like that option. There's that option is also there. But what's going to happen is, everyone, is you're going to have, you know, Monday Night Raw happen, 8 to 11, and then maybe you can watch the backstage pass after that, if you want to. And then at midnight, both my co-host, Satish Ram, and I, will be doing
hey.
A post-Raw. Yeah, hey, look at him. Here he is, right? Here he is, ladies.
Hey.
All the ladies that are listening. That I think you just brought in almost all half of our, if not all of our, female viewer fan base. I think you just brought them all
in. I think I may have just turned them all away with it. Hey.
Yeah. No, not the ones you brought in. Now they're even more interested. But seriously, though.
I thought that magazine was for women.
You told me girls read that magazine. Sean,
for those of you who don't
get
that reference,
Playgirl.
Just Google Shawn Michaels Playgirl, and that explains it. Basically, he thought that the viewer.
How about the picture with Randy Orton and the midgets and the jelly beans?
All right, no. We're no.
All right,
we might have to end early.
No. We're gonna have Monday Night Raw post Monday Night Raw podcast from midnight to 1 a.m. If you would like to listen in, we're going to be talking about anything that transpired on Raw. And now that we have more time, we will talk about matches that don't matter, like Titus O'Neil versus someone.
That didn't actually happen.
Oh, you're
we
talking
didn't
about.
It happened
yet. Whatever may happen, we're talking about whatever may happen on Raw. Now we can talk about those matches because we're going to have a full hour.
But what
so
if we start,
please,
okay.
Because we
I
have the full
we
hour, we can talk about matches that
sure,
we
sure,
used
if you
to
want.
Not.
I guess you didn't talk about this with me, but I guess. I mean, maybe.
Well, you know, we'll see how you feel. We'll see how
you,
we feel later.
You want this to go smoothly, don't you?
No, I want it to be
you
a
don't?
Train wreck, brother. I want us to be at the Silverdome. Talking about sisters, talking about...
You don't want this to go well?
No, I want it to go off the rails
I
crazy
you.
Because
I was
I
hoping you
be...
would be like, you know what, I do want this to go well. And I was just going
to
be like,
no.
If you want peace, prepare for war.
No, I want this to be symbolic of the WWE right now. I want it to go completely to hell.
No,
I want, this
just,
was the good show. This
no,
was the
but
good
it
show.
Didn't
it's
go
going...
that much to, it didn't go that much to hell.
And I don't mean the specific WrestleMania. I just mean in general right now. It seems like the company is in complete turmoil in what to do with anyone at any time at all. Unless that's them 24/7, in which case, bless them for doing this for 20 years with that logic. But I'm assuming it's just now.
Yeah. We'll see what happens. But, I just remember I got in the line. You know, I got in the, if you want peace, prepare for war. Because that made me so happy during Triple H's entrance. But so there's a lot of fallout to take care of tonight.
There definitely is, and I think they'll do it well enough that it won't be well. So basically badly. But we can see.
Let me punt you one question then as we wrap this up.
Okay, all right.
Do you think, and I specifically asked this because it was one of the things I was really pissed about last night,
mm-hmm.
Do you think Bray Cena 2 should be a thing, or should Bray move on to something else?
Bray Cena 2, I believe we did talk about this on the podcast a bit before.
Yeah.
Bray
Assuming
Cena 2
Bray
needs
wins
to be a
this
thing.
One.
Oh, yeah, if Bray wins the next one, Bray Cena 2 needs to be a thing, if only because, fine, you made him lose at the first one, okay. But he needs a win. He needs to be legitimized in some way, and Bray needs to use his mic skills to still kind of taunt John Cena, because even though people may say, oh, but Bray, you lost. But again, you know, if he won the battle, he may not have won the war, because technically he still did kind of turn on his own ideals at certain points in the match, John Cena.
Night I was very happy when I told you. I was like, you know, Bray can easily, with his ability to talk, can spin it around and basically say, you might think you won because you got the three count, but I saw the monster, John. I saw him. He's real.
The way you started that, I just imagined a shaved Bray Wyatt. You may think
you will match, John. He transitioned from The Rock.
Listen,
I would just.
Can you
smell
what the family is cooking? It's possum pie, John. Gives him a stunner. Gives him a stunner, because why are we being logical at this point? The Rock says, "Know your damn Wyatts." Apparently, like, the entire crowd gets up. Like, half of the crowd are Wyatts. Know your damn Wyatts. Now we're done. I think we're cutting it off. We're cutting it off in about a minute or so, because where can we go from there? So
yeah, why not?
Like,
right, we can end it off. I mean, I've got music ready to be played. And...
Oh, I have music too.
Do you?
Which one of us should? Well, you can go, because I think. Well, not right this second, mind you. But you know what? I'll let you go, because Sisa Tish likes to confuse me. So I want to say that he should play this Fire Burns. However,
but
he's
going to
play something completely different. I'm a bad man.
You had that. Oh, I thought that was part of the playlist.
It was before, but I wanted to do it again, because we can't get enough of that song. But, however, if you have something, we'll definitely
by. I worry that last night was the last we saw of Undertaker. And
right.
As much as we got angry over the match, it was only because we respected and loved the guy so much.
Of course.
So I figured I'd have his theme song ready to play us out, but I mean, I don't know. I mean,
you're a liar, Satish Ram.
No, I'm not.
You're a liar. Satish Ram is a racehorse.
I'm not a liar. I haven't lied on this show yet.
You're a liar.
Can I play us out?
All right, maybe.
Why do you think I'm a liar?
Thank you guys for listening to those guys. Please listen to us again at midnight sharp for the...
at 11 midnight sharp.
Listen here, brother. We're going to be going live from the Silver Dome, brother.
Why not?
Why not? All right, so...
Do I have permission to play
guys?
Us out, General?
Why do you sound
when
so scared?
When you have my permission to die.
Get out. Yeah, sure. I'm really nervous.
You've done it now.
You've done it, made a big mistake.
And I can't allow.
This is not what I expected.
You don't think you can just walk
I
away.
Don't want
you
to
so turn around.
This
and say, Piper, you're gonna pay.
Cause the end is now.
This is gonna be a judgment day.
Good night, everybody. Talk to you later. Talk to you in midnight.